Hello, Culés. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in the Spanish capital. In today's episode, we have a group chat discussion to talk about FC Barcelona's 2021. The three people I chose are, first, Jose Moratay of the Los Angeles Peña. Second is Adrian Bilatowski, who's basically FC Barcelona entrepreneur, as I like to call him. And third is Keegan Au, who's part of our Patreon community. Now, one of the great things I have really enjoyed, and maybe I didn't realize I was going to enjoy as much, was meeting so many FC Barcelona fans outside of my bubble, either online or in person. Now, I have had the chance to meet Jose and Adrian both in person. Jose, I met 2 years ago when Brian and I did our Barca Talk in Barcelona show. And Jose and I really had a great time. Those days we walked around the city, we had some beers before the match, we went to the match together, he got us tickets too as well, which was awesome. And again, the whole experience of that day, especially, walking around with Jose and meeting up with Brian and everything, was great. But again, it was just really awesome to meet someone who had similar background as me. We're both have El Salvadorian roots, so that was great. And just to kind of meet an outside FC Barcelona fan, I would have never met Jose ever, because we're just, you know, from different parts of the world, essentially. And it was just great to meet him in person. Another person is Adrian. Adrian, we've been talking online for a while. I would say maybe in 4 years from the get-go. And I just met Adrian in person last October when I was in Barcelona. And like I said, Adrian is a Barca entrepreneur. He has, get this, a Camp Nou tour that he does for people. He has a podcast in Polish about FC Barcelona. He is a socii, so he goes to, I would say, 95% of the matches. And also, he has an Instagram page where he shares those photos from the Camp Nou and his Barca experience, which is great. You can definitely give him a follow. His handle is in the show notes, so please give him a follow. And the last person is Keegan. Keegan is part of our Patreon community. Like I said, he's based in Canada, and he's been really active in our community, and it was great to virtually meet him, and he had some great insight in our group discussion. This will be the last episode of the season. Barca plays Sevilla this week, but we will do a summary of that match for our Barca Talk Cafe for our patrons. So if you want more Barca content from Spain, consider joining. It's only $5 a month. We have a really cool What's Up community, and also we do the extra episodes on Friday, so it's really cool. Last thing, hope everyone is staying safe. I know, here in Spain, we have this sixth wave going on. Just hope everyone is going to stay safe and have a good holiday and Christmas with their family and friends. After the break, we have our group discussion and talk about FC Barcelona's 2021. So here's our, first annual. We'll try to do this, a group chat discussion. I brought in some people to get their opinions about the season that was FC Barcelona 2020-21. First, we have Jose. He is one of the co-founders of the Los Angeles Peña. Jose, long time no see. How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Thanks. Nice to see you again. Nice to talking to you again. It's been a minute, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious to get your opinions in a minute. And next, we have Adrian. Adrian, I call you kind of like the FC Barcelona entrepreneur, because you have so many fingers in the pot. You have tours, you have a podcast, you have your Instagram account with all those great photos. Adrian, how are you doing?
Yes, thanks. That's a good name. I also am I'm a president of a Peña Blog.
See, there you go. See, more information for us. This is like everything else.
One more thing you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and thanks. I'm good.
And last, we have Keegan. Keegan is part of our Patreon community. I've made a call to action to our community. Keegan's been part of that. So Keegan, good to see your face finally, because I know we've been in our WhatsApp group talking a lot, but it's good for you to join us in this group chat.
It's great. Thanks for having me, Gabriel. It's great to see some of your faces, and thanks for welcoming. Thanks for putting out the call, actually. It's great that you've had some patrons on.
Yeah, for sure. And so the first thing I want to talk about, let's talk about last night's game against Elche. Adrian was at the game, so I'm going to ask his opinion first about just kind of the environment last night and the feeling of the game. But I thought last night's game was a very good microcosm of what we're going to expect under Xavi's tenure with this team. A lot of excitement, a lot of up and downs, a lot of defensive lapses. But ultimately, we're going to be able to get either a tie or a win. Adrian, how was the Camp Nou last night? And more importantly, how did everyone kind of celebrate Nico's goal?
Well, Camp Nou was actually pretty empty, I must say. There were only 41,000 people, something. But we didn't feel it. I think it was pretty loud. For the most part of the game, it was pretty loud. So people were actually excited, I think, about the game, especially the first part when we started. The level of the game, I have to say, was one of the best we've seen in weeks. So it's easier to cheer for the team. But even after, in the second half, when we went 2-2, people still were trying to cheer for the team, and the Camp Nou was pretty loud. So I have to say it was pretty fun. Also, it's Christmas. It's nice atmosphere here in Barcelona. So I always like those games.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, especially last night, just watching the match on TV, the feeling was excitement, you know, like we could do this, you know. And I think it's definitely a 180 from what it was in September. Jose, I know you were with your Peña watching this match. How was the feeling watching this match? And especially, you know, the 3 points ultimately were super important. You know, how was the reaction in your Peña watching this match against Elche?
Oh, it was, how can I say? It was kind of a little bit torn, you know, like the first half, you get all this excitement, like everything is going the way it's supposed to be going. And all of a sudden, you know, you feel like you just got punched in the gut, you know, like what just happened, you know, like 2 goals, like really literally back to back. And everybody was stunned. Like, here we go again, you know, like we're blowing another lead. We're going to, like, what are we going to do now? You know, who are we going to put from the bench? You know, everybody's like, oh, put Coutinho. He's like, I don't know. You know, it's like, then who we have? We literally, you know, it's like, you're just guessing. But overall, I mean, our guys, you know, they know they're, you know, they know we're playing with young players. So this is kind of like expected, but excitement at the end, obviously, you know, getting that goal, you know, the last minute goal. So it's rough watching it sometimes, but but it's fun at the same time.
I mean, I definitely think, especially since Xavi took over, there's definitely more of a direction of where we're heading. And this is what's going to be the matches. I mean, it's just going to be a lot of roller coaster of emotions. The one thing I look at yesterday against Elche is just the way that we were able to get those 2 quick goals, but also from the midfield. Keegan, what were your kind of thoughts about, you know, especially Gavi's wonder goal yesterday? That was just a golazo going coast to coast, essentially through the midfield. And a couple times yesterday, Gavi just had some magnificent turns in the midfield. What are your kind of overall impressions about Gavi's performance last night against Elche?
Yeah, Gavi is just one of the players that really, truly excites me right now. I just find him to be just full of energy, full of grit, not afraid to get sort of his hands dirty and to get in there and dig for the ball. He's one that never gives up. And yesterday's performance was just something that, again, really sort of excited me. A lot of times I found myself, particularly through the beginning of the season, almost sort of getting up from the couch and going doing something in the kitchen, just keep having the game on the background so I don't get too annoyed. And but it, you know, just to distract myself more or less from what's going on in the field sometimes. But yesterday I was completely enthralled. All some beautiful runs, some beautiful through balls, and Gavi in particular was just, you know, just a joy to watch, you know.
Yeah, and you know, we're closing off the season. We have a match on Tuesday against Sevilla. But again, it's I feel like every time the fitness is getting better with the team. And again, I think one of the biggest drawbacks of the season going forward is going to be the defense. Adrian, I mean, what can we do with the defense? Is it, I mean, you know, last night we were in a 3-back system again, and again, we still have these lapses, especially on dead balls and on counters. Is there anything that you would like to see Xavi implement a little bit more on defense, or is this just what the season is going to be for the rest of the season?
I have to quote the great Ronald Koeman and say, and look, it is what it is. Unless you're going to clone Ronald Araujo, you're not going to get better. I mean, I still have hopes for Eric Garcia to reach the next level, to become a player that we want him to become. But at the moment, he still commits a lot of mistakes. He can have a really good intervention, like a good play, and then the next play, you see him do something really really basic. So I'm not going to mention Clément Lenglet or Umtiti, because especially Umtiti is finished. So, it's going to be tough. I mean, even Oscar Mingueza, that we kind of liked, he was okay. He was like a, you know, maybe not a starter, but a good role player. He was quite horrible this season. So, definitely it's good to have Jordi Alba back. I mean, even if he makes some mistakes as well, then at least we have this drive forward, and once he leaves Barcelona, we're gonna miss him.
Yes, I think we are going to miss him. But one of the things that drives me crazy still is his crossing. His blind crossing that he does. I just want him to look up and just find someone. But yes, I mean, he's our best option right now at left back, bar none. So. He is going to be driving that left wing. You know, last night when I was watching the match, just seeing Ferran, you know, getting his start and the goal, I thought he knew what to do right away. And I think that is key, especially if we're talking in comparison to Memphis, that I don't know how you feel in your Peña, but here in our Patreon group, we get so frustrated with Memphis. Do you think Ferran is a better option than Memphis going forward?
That's funny you mentioned it. That's what we discussed yesterday with, you know, with our members. It's like, I mean, if you continue playing, you know, like that, I mean, this kid might just take his spot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's moving better. Obviously, you know, like somebody that is know our system a little bit more than Memphis. And again, I mean, there's some type of players that might feel that they cannot play with this type of pressure, you know, that you come to this big team, even though that obviously right now we're not in our best moments, but just the name Barcelona alone, you know, it plays a lot in your mind. Perfect example, Coutinho, you know, he never was able to adapt. The player is great. Obviously we didn't put it in the right position at the beginning and get frustrated and so, but this kid, again, playing from the youth, from the B team and stuff, and knowing already the system, it makes it easy for him to adapt, and especially playing with Gabi, Nico, knowing that, you know, what they're supposed to be doing and where they're supposed to be standing.
I mean, I think it was, you know, a big sign in the first 20 minutes how, you know, attacking-minded we were with the midfield. And also, Ferran just didn't get in the way of those players, you know, whereas I think Memphis gets in the way of those players. So maybe there is something to that, you know. Again, he's not the sexy pick, right, like Memphis is with the signing. But again, it's about results and goals. And just in, like, the first half, two goals, you know, compared to what we had with Memphis before, was definitely eye-opening. I mean, obviously, it was a up-and-down game with Elche in the second half, but we ultimately got those 3 points. Well, I think that's enough. Keegan, you have anything else to add about your impressions about last night's match before we move on to kind of just the year in review of FC Barcelona?
I mean, I agree with that, just on that last comment about Memphis. Memphis has started the season very strong in the first couple of games, and I wasn't super optimistic about his joining the club, but when he put in a couple of, you know, key moments for us in the early part of the season, I was very optimistic, but obviously is showing in the last part of the season here has not been great. And perhaps having somebody else to rotate in may give him a little bit of a drive so that when he gets on the field, when he gets on the pitch, he has to show results. I mean, our number nine or someone who needs to be in the middle of the pitch, they have to show results. And if he's not able to do that, then, you know, maybe having somebody else in that rotation may be the push that he needs.
Yeah, it's a good point. And that's the thing is, I think Xavi needs to find the rhythm with Memphis, because again, Memphis in this system needs to click with the midfield, because he is our most dangerous goal scorer, but he's just not converting. So that's something that Xavi has to look into for after the break. And so we'll see that. But let's get in kind of, I'm interested to get your opinions. You know, I've been, you know, speaking my mind in the last 3 months about all these things. So I was curious, you know, that's why I brought you guys on, because I wanted to hear outside of Spain and also just outside of my bubble, you know, especially when I talked to Adrian here about this. But first, I just want to get your feeling about Laporta's second tenure. Adrian, what has your feeling been so far with his second tenure? Are you still on board? Are you still kind of on the fence about it? How are you feeling so far?
Well, I voted yes in the Aspire Barca referendum today, so I guess I'm still on board, more or less. I have my issues with him. Obviously, the biggest one is the whole Messi thing, and Messi's exit is something that basically from this point on, I don't really trust Laporta like I used to. So this is my big issue with him. It's really hard to earn trust. It's very easy to lose it, as we all know. I'm still not 100% sure if he really has a plan. I guess we'll have to wait a little bit. So far, it seems that he doesn't. I mean, to me at least. And whatever he does is basically improvising. So I will be looking directly at from this angle at his tenure. And we'll see. I mean, now we'll see how the things go with the CVC deal. Will be very important for the club.
Yeah,
and we'll see if we can get it actually negotiated. If it's going to be a good deal or not, and what kind of players can we actually sign? Maybe this winter. Maybe maybe in the summer. Let's still have some hope that he's going to be the Laporta that we actually expected him to be.
Yeah, I think that those are two great points, right? I think with the whole Messi thing, I think if he just had communicated that, I think earlier, I think he would have, you know, tempered our expectations about the re-signing and the dismissal of Messi leaving. And the other thing too is with the plan. Like I just sometimes, you know, especially the way Koeman stayed and Xavi came in with the whole situation with that, I just feel it's very reactionary. So, Jose, what about you? How are you and your fellow Peña members feeling about Laporta's tenure so far?
I feel a little bit of a, I'm going to say, turn, because he knew more or less where he was coming into, you know, for his second term. But I think he definitely got a reality check once he got the audit, you know, results. And just that alone, you know, and then on top of that, you add Messi's departure. And to me, a little bit going with Adrian, that, you know, that I don't know if he ever has like a plan coming into the, you know, to his second term. And I lost a little bit of trust. A couple of members feel the same way. They're talking about the same thing, you know, they're hurt because, you know, Messi's departure. Me personally, I just don't like that he's aligning with Florentino for whatever Superliga they're planning to do. Realistically, I talked to my brother, you know, one of my brother's in-law, he's a Madrid fan, and I'm like, that's not going to happen. You know, it's a dream, you know, and then Laporta is putting all the chips on that, you know, and to me, it's like, what for? You know, like, I mean, you aligning with the rival, with a guy that we know is, I don't know, it's not trustable. One thing, I mean, he came in the first term. He came with a situation similar to this. The club was bad, and he made it, you know, succeed eventually. Took a while, but he did it. So that's what I'm going for. Like, if he did it once, he can do it again. But so far, I'm not liking it, kind of what he's doing, but give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I totally understand. And I the thing for me, like, for example, when I was looking at the candidates, that's why I liked Font a little bit stronger, just because I felt like he had a stronger real plan, right? And that's the thing. Now, obviously, Laporta is just a really good politician. He knows how to maneuver the vote and the popularity. Like, he's just really good at that. And that's a good quality to have in a president. But also, you need someone to be, you know, executing this plan. Keegan, what about you? How about you? How are you feeling in Laporta's second tenure? Are you still confident, half confident? Are you still kind of watching with one eye? How are you feeling?
I think, you know, I'm watching carefully. You said it, Laporta is a politician, right? He has to be a president, which means the goals are to get results, but also to get to guide the club in the correct direction. And I guess that's true of many politicians that have a degree of power. And And for that reason, I don't really envy them, because they have to both play the public relations game, but also try to achieve results. And sometimes these things don't align, you know? I'm hesitant to be too critical of everything that's going on here with Laporta. I think recognizing that he's come in at a time when the club is, financially in a very, very poor state, having a little patience. I think he had to deal with the way, I know that it would have been nice for him to show his cards with respect to Messi, but at the same time, I think, for public support, he had to, for public and for the fan support, he had to come across as if Messi's re-signing was going to be one of his priorities, even though he probably realized, as any politician comes into power, he probably has a degree of plan, has an element of prediction as to how things are going to roll. He probably knew that it was going to be very unlikely to be able to re-sign him. And sometimes just being completely forthcoming with information is just not really possible, in sort of what he has for his vision to go forward. So I think, I guess to summarize, I'm being patient with the whole situation.
Yeah, I think that's what we can do. And again, this goes down to the whole thing. What's better, having a voting process where we have to vote the president or a dictator, right? Because, when there's a dictator in there, the roads work, and who to blame, right? So I always look at like the EPL model with owners, they get things done quicker, but you can't take them out, right? And yes, the FCB voting system is great in theory, but we can see sometimes some of the faults that happens. Like you said, Laporta is just a really good politician, and we can sometimes, he's out there kissing babies and shaking hands when he should be maybe finalizing deals and just making stuff work better for FC Barcelona. All right, well, let's get to the next question. We'll start with you, Keegan, with this one. What is the best moment for you for the season for FC Barcelona this past year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think, though, that we have some moments to pick from. But for me, I think it was Fati's goal his celebration. The celebration of the whole team around him, I guess, that was quite an amazing moment for him to score in that first game back, and the way he, sort of rushed to the surgeon in the stands and sort of, shook his hand and to give him a big hug and how grateful, like his first reaction was to be grateful. And I think that for me, one of the reasons why I support this club is that, the club has values supports and has developed these kids from a very young age. And even though they're sort of pulled from their childhood homes, they're study and to learn to play football and at La Masia, the kids are still getting values and that they're able to celebrate in that manner, and just the way that the team rallied around him after that goal. That was, for me, the moment that made me feel the best in this season so far.
All right, I think that's a great one because that was also kind of like a turning point in the fall, as well as like there was hope, back, and also the way he was able to contribute there. Adrian, what about you? What is your best FC Barcelona moment for 2021?
Obviously, Ansu's goal was very exciting, and I was lucky to be there and see him. I'm a huge Ansu fan, but to me, I would say the elections in March, when the whole saga ended, actually the whole Bartoroseismo ended, finally, the whole Tusquets thing, with the president that's not actually the president, but doing some work like a president, so... It was so tiring. Just I wanted them all of them out, and wanted them to, the new board to start over again, and start cleaning up the mess that they left. So this is one moment. The other one has to be Alexia Putellas and Pedri winning Ballon d'Ors. Golden Boy and Ballon d'Or. Yeah, really exciting times for Barça Femení. The first team is what it is, but the Femení team is just amazing, and we have to talk about it, because it's not normal what they do. they scoring, you know, they winning the triplete, they scoring like now they have 100 goals in 20 games. That's just not normal in any sport.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What they did.
That's a great point. You're right. Like my two moments, and I'll piggyback on you. You kind of just took my things, was when Koeman got fired, because for me, that was the last thing of Bartomeu still holding on to this team. So that for me is one of the best moments, because to me, that was when it was finally going to change for the better, just in, you know, coaching, physio, all these things with Xavi coming in. Again, as I've said in the past couple of weeks, I think this move should have been done in the fall, obviously, you know, before the season started. The other one, obviously, is the Femini. For me, the Femini winning the tripleta, another great moment for this club, but also the direction that they're taking the women's game is awesome. Obviously, they established a La Masia for women now. And also, like you said, that's just a crazy stat, 100 goals in 20 games, but also allowing like four, you know, that's the other crazy stat. So they are definitely dominating the women's game. For sure. Jose, what about you? What is the best moment of 2021 for you?
Did you guys read my notes? That's what I just thought. No, but I agree with all of you, you know, but first, I mean, for us and for myself too, it's the Femini. I mean, like you guys said, they did the treble, and proof of that for us is that us as a Peña, we took the decision to honor them and the scarf this year for them. It was literally nice. for girls, for our ladies. You know, we showed them, you know, the Visca Femini. We showed the treble in our scarf in honor of them. I mean, that was part of the season, you know, one of the best moments for us. Another one for me personally will be when Koeman left. Just for the fact, I mean, he should be sacked after the season, you know, the last season in summer. We should have started from scratch. Going for with whoever, so whatever the coach may be, it doesn't matter. Interim could be Pimienta, it could be somebody else, I don't care, but not him, just for the fact that he was not taking us anywhere, you know. I mean, yeah, he might give the chance to maybe Pedri and other young players to play, but let's be honest, I mean, some of them they play because they got injured, not because Koeman really like went to the B team games and watched them and like said, all right, you know what, you get the opportunity to play. So, I mean, yeah, it was good, but I mean, he was not taking us anywhere. And him being fired, I mean, it was good late, but the best thing to do at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, for me, that was just kind of the last thing of Bartomeu just holding on to this club, especially with Koeman still there, even though, you know, they're not really friends or anything like that. But it's just that idea, right? And like I said, I've been clamoring that I wanted Xavi to get the opportunity at the beginning of the season just to have a full preseason. And again, you know, this goes into the next question that we're going to ask is the biggest disappointment. You know, for me, the biggest disappointment, obviously, is not making the Champions League. Just understanding how important it was. That's why I think Laporta just didn't have a plan, because, you know, he could have analyzed this at the beginning and said, could Koeman really get us out of the group stage? Like, that is something we need to look at with all the money implications. So for me, the biggest disappointment is not analyzing and realizing how important it was, and also just not qualifying for the Champions League, because now we're in the Europa League. You know, we were joking around in our Patreon group, like, what does that song even sound like? Like, I never watched the Europa League. So, unfortunately, I mean, I love football, but it really needs me to get me a good matchup to watch Europa League. So, we'll start with Jose. Jose, what has been the biggest disappointment for 2021 for you? I mean, you know, we know there's going to be a lot here, so we'll just pick one for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, I think majority is going to be probably the not making to the Champions League knockout stage. I think obviously that one, it's a tough one to, you know, to swallow. You know, you're expecting to do that at least. But to me, I mean, I'm just going to say, you know, Messi departure, not able to control it. Like you said, piggyback on what you said, you know, Laporta not having a backup plan. That tells you right there that he was not ready in terms of like to have something like a plan, a program that, you know, like take you, you know, with the right perspective. Yes, Font had the best program on paper and everything. But what happened when pretty much Laporta decided to show up? What did Fon do? Did he continue talking about his program and so? No, he just started attacking, you know, Laporta. So I'm wondering what he would have done now that with the real problems, you know, now that you're sitting on the chair handling all these situations. To me, those two things, like not making the playoffs in Champions and Messi's departure, it's a huge blow for us.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Keegan, what about you? Biggest disappointment of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, they're do I just get to pick one? I mean,
yeah, just pick one. Because we only just pick one.
To be honest, there's so many, like Messi. That, you know, one big one that's really impacted this season, though, I think, is, again, I'm going to bring up Ansu, but his the fact that he was only in for a short period and then has been out again. When he went down, I mean, that sort of, I think most Kool-Aid's hearts really, really dropped at that moment. So that was a big disappointment. So I'll just leave it at that. I know you guys have some more things. Yeah,
I mean, with that, I would just also include the physio, because, you know, it's not something that just happened in the last 3 months. It's something that's been happening in the last, you know, couple seasons with the, when I look at it, is the inability to estimate returns on time, you know, like, if you are a physio, you have experience, you look at the graphs, you look at the x-rays, the what, you know, everything, right? And you're able to estimate, and you're supposed to, you're a doctor, right? You're a doctor, Keegan. So like, having this information, you're able to estimate, right? But also you're not going to give like, hey, you're going to be back in 3 days, but also give a proper estimate. And it feels like every time they're completely off base and completely wrong. So you're perfect for this. Give me your impressions on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess probably my biggest disappointment was that moment, but it's sort of a bigger reflection on the whole, I don't want to say medical system, because I guess it's just has so many moving parts, right? There's not just the, you know, the surgical team, but then there's the physio, there's the trainers that have to, you know, I guess train players in the right manner so that physiologically they're ready for this high level competition. And it just, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's been so many injuries. I mean, even Dembele aside, I mean, there's just so much that's sort of pointing a finger at that aspect of the club that it just can't be just the surgical management. It can't just be that players aren't fit. There has to be some other element to this that's that is sort of just being mismanaged at that level. So I think, you know, the number of injuries has simply been, and that's one of the reasons why this season, even the little chance that they had to sort of pull into a top four spot, has been really hampered by the level of injuries. And I don't want to say incompetence, but maybe that's what it is, you know?
I mean, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts. And like, for example, in your sector, you know, you have X amount of years of experience, so you know what recovery time is for a certain type of patient and all that stuff. And so you're estimating that way. And I feel like you said, maybe there's just too many moving parts and they're just not synced up. And that happens a lot of times in pro sports, you know, in pro football and pro basketball, where they're just not aligned, right? You just have a lot of things going on. Adrian, finish us off. Your biggest disappointment.
To me, obviously, it was the Messi thing. Messi leaving left me quite heartbroken, I must say. I mean, not just the way, because we all know what Messi means to the club, and that he's the best club in the best player in the club's history, probably the best footballer ever. I mean, for us it's obvious. For other people, maybe not quite. But to us, there's no other player that can even reach be close. I mean, he nearly scored 700 goals. I mean, how crazy is that? Just 91 goals in, you know, in a year. It's just, and you let this legend that grew up here, you know, since he was 13, you let him go. And the way he left, it was just so sad. I mean, he was obviously heartbroken too, because it's his home. He spent more time here in Barcelona than he did in Argentina, although he still played for Argentina, right? His whole family was heartbroken. And to give him like a press conference and some pictures, not even on the Camp Nou grass, but like in the corridor. I mean, it was just so bad. I mean, I felt like we were Real Madrid, you know? when they gave the goodbyes to Casillas. Casillas or Raul, you know? I remember those things. So this is just not the way that it was supposed to go. I mean, look at the farewell Iniesta or Xavi had. I mean, it should have been something like that, but just you know, two times more and better and, yeah, and bigger, because the whole Barcelona should be celebrating that he actually we had him here, not that he's leaving, but that we were so lucky to have him here. So yeah, this is definitely the worst moment for me.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if I would have told you a year ago that Messi would be taking pictures on Instagram with Sergio Ramos, you would have flipped out. And now here they are on Instagram, best friends forever, essentially. I still can't get over that. We have a couple questions left. Keegan, did you have a last thing about the surgery and the physio team? You wanted to say something?
No, that was okay. It, actually. Appreciate it. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, no problem. Just a couple questions left and we'll kind of make it go quick. So let's start with Keegan. How are you feeling so far about Xavi's tenure? You're on board, I take it. I think we're all kind of on board, but give me some of your high points about this.
I mean, it's something that I'm patient with. I think you have to realize the cards he's been dealt here, the number of injuries he's dealing with. There's been certainly moments of brilliance that we've seen on the pitch. And I think, you know, some of the things that we all agree as Kool-Aids that probably need to be improved on are, you know, things like fitness. And that doesn't happen overnight, you know. I mean, if he's going to make big changes, you know, like I said, is that in the first half of a lot of these games since Xavi's taken over, they've looked really good. And maybe it's just that they can't sustain it. And some of these changes are going to have to happen slowly. And we're not going to, we might see 45 or 60 minutes of good football, and then have a few moments like in that game on Sunday or yesterday that where they've really had major lapses in defense. But then they came on, they sort of picked up. I mean, one of our other patrons in the community made a comment on the chat that, you know, at least they showed that they could pick themselves up again and go, you know. So I think that, you know, I'm very optimistic, to be honest.
Yeah, I think those are good points. Now, I'm going to get to the most important question, because this is one of the most important questions that I've talked about with Craig in the previous podcast and our chat, and it revolves around Dembele. So I'm going to start with Adrian. Adrian, should FCB re-sign Dembele in the upcoming season? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely not. Okay. It would be a sabotage, in my opinion. It would be something Bartomeu would do. To give him, after, what was it, 3 or 4 years, that he didn't actually do anything. He actually cost us some really important games, like with PSG or Liverpool in the Champions League. He was never there when we needed him. We were always there for him, and now we have problems with resigning him. Because I think he's basically just done. I mean, he's just waiting for the 1st of January to sign for someone else. This was my feeling since, I think, September, probably. I was feeling that this is the stuff that can happen with him. Also, I'm not very high on him as a footballer. Not even leaving aside the whole injury history, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel this is something that you can fix. Like we said, the whole medical department needs to be restructured. So maybe there is some way to fix him, but I don't think there is a way to fix his mentality, his head. Mm-hmm. I don't think he will ever change. I mean, to me, he's still the same lost kid that really doesn't. He just doesn't have this drive to become one of the great ones. I mean, he could be, obviously, the talent is there, but to give him something more than like a few million, I mean, for a few million euros, maybe he could stay, but I don't think he's ever going to take it. Yeah. So to me, it's just a very easy decision, honestly.
You know, it's funny because last week I had this conversation with Craig on the podcast, and I was always positive about Dembele just because about the potential, the quote unquote potential. And when I was speaking to him, he really changed my mind, because when does he score goals? And that's really what he's there for, right? So Jose, do we resign? Your thoughts, resign Dembele?
Just one more thing. Even yesterday, you know, he was like, he was playing well when the whole team was playing well. Then he disappears when we actually needed him. And then at the end, he did this ridiculous Rabona thing when we were up 3-2. I mean, This is the kind of player you want to build your future on. Come on.
No. Jose, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with Adrian on this one. I'm going to say no. If he's mentally mature ready, he will be, like Xavi said, he will be the best player for our position, for the position that he plays for us. But I don't think, you know, I don't think he's ready. You know, like he's an injury prone, you know. It's like you don't know what you're going to get from him. And you cannot gamble. This will be a huge gamble for Barcelona. And something where, I mean, the odds are not in our favor.
More than any time where Barcelona has to be the most physically responsible, this is the moment, right? Because statistically, if you look at his data, his analytics and so forth, it just, you cannot pay this guy the amount of money that he's asking for. It is irresponsible to do that. And most importantly, like you said, with the amount of games that he misses, does not score enough goals for me. Yes, he's very fast, but again, it's very frustrating. Keegan, final word on this. Dembele, yes or no for you?
You know what? They should just compile a highlight reel and send it to some team that's got money to burn, okay? Because
Newcastle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I agree with the other guys.
All right, well, let's finish on a positive note. You know, I always like to say sometimes on the show we like to do compliment sandwiches, right? So we start off positive, go negative, then go positive. What player excites you the most besides Ansu Fati? Because I wanted to get off of that because obviously we're all very excited about Ansu. We'll start with Jose. What player are you most excited for this, you know, second half of this season and the following season?
That's easy. I think majority probably might pick Gavi. You know, people that, you know, follow, you know, the B team and know what we're getting. So to me, him, but literally the whole young core that is coming up, it's excited to me. And piggyback on, you know, the Xavi's, how we feel about Xavi, like, you know, I think he's the perfect coach right now for our kids to be, you know, playing already on the first team. He's going to mold them to perfection, and he's going to mold them to the style of play that we do, that we like to see on a weekend basis. And, you know, perfect example of that is Gavi. You know, like, he's the player that he's going to leave everything on the pitch, something that we were missing for, I'm going to say, for a couple of years, you know, like playing for the colors, not playing. We're lucky enough not to have players that they were playing for themselves. Like, like Ronaldo, you know, he plays for himself, you know? So we're lucky we don't have players like that, but you can see on the pitch that they're not playing their selfish heart, you know? Exactly. So now Gavi, Nico, you know, Araujo, they're all showing, you know, that they love the club. They're playing not just for put their name up there, but to put actually our name up there, you know? Like, they defend our core as well. And to me, I mean, the young core that is coming up for us is what I'm looking forward.
As I've mentioned before on the podcast, I mean, you tell any top-tier club that they're going to have 4 to 5 young talents coming through their pipeline, they would flip out, right? They would be over the moon about that. Think about like Real Madrid or Liverpool or Man City. Like, how many youth players do they really develop in the last couple of years that are coming through their system? We have kind of just, you know, luckily with, you know, unluckily with injury that this has happened mostly. But again, we've just kind of had these midfielders that are coming out of nowhere. Adrian, what about you? Who is the most exciting for you besides Ansu?
Luke de Jong, obviously. And apart from him, I would say Nico and Pedri. So Nico, I've been a huge fan of Nico for a while now. You probably know because we talked about it. I think he's going to be a great player for us. Maybe his talent is not of the extreme levels like Gavi. Because I agree with all that Jose said about Gavi, obviously, but I want to talk about Nico. I think he's going to be a great player. He will just take a bit longer to develop. Probably he will be our next Busquets. This is my hopes. Maybe not the same role in the team, but the way that he just enters the team, like through the back door, you know, there's not that much hype about him. We'll see. And Pedri, because I want to see him play with Gavi and Nico. And I want to put pressure on Frankie as well, because I think that Frankie needs this just this good pressure, you know, this because he's not been on this level that we wanted him to be. And maybe it will turn out that we don't actually need Frankie de Jong that much, because we have those three midfielders that will shape the Barca midfield for many years to come. So this is actually something I might predict, but we'll see. And also, I want to see just Pedri healthy, and it's just such a joy. I mean, we forget so quickly, like, because we have him injured now, but everything that we felt yesterday at Camp Nou about Gavi, we felt with Pedri when he was playing. So I just want to see him, and we didn't have really that many occasions to see him at Camp Nou, because, you know, with the pandemic and everything. So let's have him back healthy. I think he's gonna be awesome playing under Xavi, you know, the greatest midfielder, I think, one of the greatest midfielders ever.
Yeah, it's a good point. And again, I think you know, again, we're blessed with this midfield. Keegan, what about you? Who excites you the most besides Ansu?
Yeah, I'm excited about all those players that that Adrian and Jose have mentioned, especially Gavi. So Gavi would be my first pick. He punches way above his weight, and he's just an exciting player to watch. But so if I was to pick my next one down, actually, I've been really excited about Abde. Since the first couple of times he's been on the pitch, even you watched that game yesterday, you know, he's making such penetrating runs, and finally our midfielders seem to be finding him, but his running pattern has changed a little bit, and I'm just really excited to see how tenacious he is on the ball, and how he's willing to take players on. And like you've said many times on the podcast, Gabriel, is that we need players that are going to be attacking, players that are going to be direct, and he's one of the most direct players I think that we've seen on the pitch, certainly coming up from the youth ranks in a while, besides Fati, of course. But I think so. I'm really excited to see him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And again, he just needs to get his shooting under control a little bit, because I think he gets a little too erratic. But I think he's definitely on the right direction. He's a player that definitely excites me. For me, I would have to say Nico. I just love the tenacity that he has, the nastiness a little bit that he has that we've been kind of missing in Barcelona for a while. And I, you know, as much as I love Busquets, I would love to see an all-youth midfield. You know, for me, that really excites me, you know, to see a Pedri, Frankie de Jong, Gavi, Nico as the four midfield. I mean, that to me really excites me, just to see a little bit more youth burst, you know, be able to track back a little bit better than Busquets. And again, Busquets still has his value, don't get me wrong, but I want to see a little bit more of the transition happening, because Busquets is getting old, man. I mean, you just calculate how many games he's played in his career so far, and it's like, it's quite a lot on those legs. So yeah, but yeah, again, we are very excited. I mean, that's another player, you know, Abde compared to Dembele, when you look at that, right, you invest way more into Abde because of the salary. He scores already this season just as many goals as Dembele, or even more, right, with the 2-1 type of thing, or 1-1. So again, I think those are great players to highlight. Well, guys, I think we've kind of hit all the topics I wanted to hit. I want to thank your time, because I know we had to coordinate this with all the different time zones, especially Jose, who's just waking up having his coffee over there in Los Angeles. But, you know, one thing I wanted to really comment before I let you guys go, you know, one of the things I've really enjoyed about the podcast is just like creating these connections that we've made throughout the years and stuff. You know, I was just commenting before we got on here, Jose, when you and I were in Barcelona walking around having cañas. Just talking about our, you know, growing up in California. Adrian, we met in person in October when I was able to get there in Barcelona. That was a lot of fun. We went to the Barca Cafe. And Keegan, we have not met in person, but great. You know, I'm happy to have met you here online, and it's been really great to kind of meet everyone who are Barca fans from all over the world. So it's been really great to get your opinions. Guys, thanks for joining me, and we'll talk soon. Happy holidays.
And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for having us.
Happy holidays, and thank you for having us, man. Pleasure, as always.